Let's fucking go.
Hello, hello, my friend.
Like 6 o'clock is 6 o'clock, buddy.
I know. Sorry, pal. I had to write out my notes, buddy.
Or 4 o'clock Dalton time. And he's late.
Or, yeah, and he's late.
Bastard.
Yeah, I've been looking for apartments, my dude. Welcome, Dalton.
Hello, hello. How is everybody?
Good.
Hanging
Good
in
after
there.
last night. Last night was
Yeah.
great. Oh my
Well,
gosh.
I guess that's true from a certain point of view.
Yeah. Well, you guys are already out of it, so it doesn't matter. Yeah,
Welcome,
but like,
everyone.
yeah, I lost to Ottawa. It's just like a little bit of an extra kick in the nuts.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. It was, yeah. We'll get to it, but welcome, everyone. Episode 22 of South of the Blue Line. The website is off and running. I have an article out. You should go read it. Chris was kind of like, eh, I don't know if I'll write anything. And then he comes out with two in 1 week. I don't know where Dalton is.
Hey, I got actually a pretty exciting announcement.
Oh,
What?
yeah, let's hear it.
I released my first article about an hour ago.
Oh,
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
So Dalton, I haven't read it. Doesn't sound like Chris has read it. You want to give us a little teaser?
It's about Tobias Reeder.
I get
Mm-hmm. Probably not quite in the direction you're expecting, but it's definitely there.
Well, we will get to Tobias Reeder for sure, for sure.
He got Nicholson.
Oh boy, he did.
Let's just jump right into it then, boys. So we started off last week with a 6-3 Oilers loss to the Golden Knights. This was I actually didn't catch much of this game. I was still on vacation, and I was driving my grandparents home, so I was listening to it in the car, and it was a little bit back and forth at the beginning, and then the Golden Knights just kind of ran away with it, and I was like, yeah, that makes sense.
What were you watching on? A little bit of 6:30 Chet or?
Well, no, I wasn't. I guess I wasn't watching it then. I was listening to Jack Michael's Bob Stauffer. So yeah, I guess that'd be the Ched.
Look at that. All the way down south, eh?
Yeah, dude, I love listening on the radio because you get to hear all the Alberta commercials and stuff like that.
How many truck commercials were there?
There were a few. There were a few for sure. And then, like during intermission, they talk about like they do like a quick like. Oh God.
Chris, did you just like roll an entire pack of dice or something?
Sorry, buddy. I'm trying to like cover up my mic. I'm on my headphones right now because I'm trying to get some ice, but apparently that didn't work.
Oh my. Chris decided to go like stomping through gravel or something. But in between intermissions though, Dalton, they do like a little like newscast. They don't talk about hockey. They just talk about like Canadian news. And it's interesting because they're talking about like people mad about Trudeau and all this stuff, and I'm like, I don't know what any of this means.
Oh yeah, we've got an election coming up in Alberta next month too, so there's probably a bit of that going on.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. And they're talking about, I don't know. You guys have some weird party names, so like, I don't really understand what's going on up there.
Well, I think if you want to have a little bit of a election news, it's down to the United Conservative Party versus the New Democrat Party.
Okay. So I obviously know, like, in the connotation of the United States, what Democrats and conservatives are, but what does that mean in Canada?
All right, so the NDP, which is the New Democrat Party, is like kind of more of a left-wing party, I would say. So comparable to the Democrats of the United States,
Okay.
where the United Conservative Party is more right-wing, so comparable probably to the Republican Party.
Okay. So conservative Democrats, they still like kind of pair up a little bit.
Yeah, they're like it's sort of because there's like three other parties as well that might get a shot, but. It's
Yeah.
it's too far away to really tell it right now.
Fair enough. This politics talk brought to you by Dalton.
New podcast starting up.
Yeah. Interesting, interesting. I guess moving on then. The Jets have been on a bit of a roll. and they beat the Kings. I mean, Chris, I know how much you, how long-term memory you have when it comes to week games that were a week ago. Do you remember anything about beating the like second to last place Kings?
I mean, I just think it was like, it was almost, I almost felt bad for the Kings, but then I remember what a bunch of dickheads they are and how they won cups and how they suck. So I didn't feel bad at all about it, especially considering they went out and got Kovalchuk, who's been like a giant turd for them. So no, I don't feel bad at all. They're just two different leagues, really.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. So first off, if you guys read my article, you guys kind of saw that the Oilers, like, the only chance they had above 50% is in the 11 games, right? Obviously, when I wrote it, they had to go 9-2 to give them like a 60% chance, sort of thing. And so I wrote that article, and then the Oilers proceed to lose the next two games.
Just gotta go 9-0. It's easy.
Absolutely. Right. And yeah. So we lose 7-2 to the Blues.
Yeah.
David Perron, I think he scored and had a bunch of points. Patty Maroon.
That's good.
Yeah. Maroon scored.
At least he had a good tilt with Cassian, though.
That was a hell of a fight. Yeah. Did you see the comments afterwards Cassian said?
Yeah. You know, he came over, he had dinner with me last night, but on the ice, it's business.
Yeah, that's awesome. And, like, you know they're good friends, too. I'm sure they were texting each other after the game. They were like, hell of a fight, buddy.
Well, real question, though. Who do you think won?
Ooh, see, that's a tough one. See, who went down first? Was it Cassian that went down?
I think Cassian did go down first.
So, I mean, obviously people like to look at that first and be like, oh, he hit the ice first. But, I mean, I don't know. It's pretty even. But I feel like, honestly, unpopular opinion maybe, I feel like Maroon kind of got the better of Cassian a little bit.
I think it was a good tilt. I think it was definitely – there was some, you know, punch-pulling going on. Don't really want to injure your best friend. But
yeah.
I would go with Cassian, but I agree. It was a very close fight.
Yeah.
I really love it. I love it when a couple of soft forwards are talking about fights. It really makes me happy. You guys know what the hell's going on. Get out of here.
Hell yeah, man. I've been in a few scraps.
Yeah, dude. I got suspended for a couple games for fighting.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to fight the ice crew, Dalton.
Well, if they keep on flaunting their freaking skirts at me, I'm going to go after them.
So, I mean, other than the fight, Dalton, how did you feel about the 7-2 loss?
Yo, dude, that game sucked. I can't even remember how much I watched of it because it was awful.
Yep. Then the Jets continue their LA swing and they go and beat the Ducks 3-0. Thank you very much, Jets. I believe that was Hellebuck's first shutout of the season. Took him freaking long enough because my fantasy team, we're in the playoffs right now, Dalton. I don't know if you knew that, but
I completely forgot about it.
Yeah, so the playoffs are right now. It's a win, you're out. So I'm currently, I've finished the regular season, second in the division, third in the league, and I'm going all the way this year, boys.
I mean, I believe in. Oh, I'm getting killed. Holy.
He's looking at it now.
Ooh.
Chris, you got anything about the 3-0 Ducks win? I mean, same sort of thing, two different leagues, huh? Alrighty.
Did Chris die? Did we lose him forever?
I don't know. It says he's still here.
Well, you know, I guess we just never have to talk about the Jets again.
All right, moving on.
Yeah.
The Oilers go and beat the Columbus Blue Jackets 4-1.
That game was sick. And also, the Blue Jackets are going to miss the playoffs, and that's probably the happiest I've been about anything this year.
It is pretty funny. Like, definitely maximum chaos if the Blue Jackets miss the playoffs.
Good thing they made all those moves, eh?
Oh, he's back.
Welcome back, buddy.
I had to plug in and unplug again. I don't know what happened. But yeah, for the Ducks Jets game, again, like outside of that game against the Vegas Golden Knights, I just feel like the Jets have really found their next gear. They're really dominating teams right now.
Yeah, for sure.
Back to the Columbus Blue Jackets. How hilarious is that?
No kidding.
Why don't you guys just hold on to Panarin? That's a good plan.
Yeah, wait till him and Bobrovsky leave for Florida in the summer. Yeah.
Is the GM going to get fired?
He should. They're going to suck for so many years, guys. They're going to suck for so many years. Terrible.
Yeah. Yeah, it's gonna be interesting because like honestly, if all four of them, if Bobrovsky, Panarin, Dzingel, and Duchesne all leave, like they're gonna be rolling with like. And don't get me wrong, Cam Atkinson's a great player, but it's just gonna be Cam Atkinson and like Keith Kincaid and net, and he's gonna be like, oh no, not again.
Well, they brought over this Swiss goalie that. It's looking like he's trying to steal the starting job, so maybe he'll do okay.
Who, Korpisalo?
Nah, the Swiss dude that they just signed like last week.
Nah, I didn't see it.
He's apparently been really good in the Swiss league, and also apparently if he gets put in the AHL, he's going to go back to Switzerland, so he's basically got to be playing in the NHL.
Oh, geez, so they basically bought Kincaid for nothing.
Yeah, I'm a little confused about that now, so...
Yeah, I mean, it's not looking good. And, I mean, in the game, you kind of – I don't know. It almost felt like they were just like he brought in all these pieces, but they're just not gelling because they kind of just kind of seemed like they were fighting. Like, the Columbus Blue Jackets kind of swimming uphill.
Yeah, they didn't really look like a good team. It was very surprising.
Yeah, it definitely kind of looked kind of just, like, you know, disheveled. Just kind of like they weren't – they were all, like, on the ice skating, but they didn't really – again, it's just that chemistry thing. They didn't really know where they were going to be and that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, and then when you have that kind of mess in your own structure, Connor McDavid's going to be like, thank you very much.
Yeah, exactly. If you're losing to the Oilers at this point of the season, something's wrong with your team.
Yep, yep. Moving on then, the Golden Knights beat the Jets 5-0. And I really like, there's a few games, I feel like the Jets are engaged in some of the more heated rivalries in the NHL right now with the Preds that we'll get to and the Golden Knights. And it's all from the playoffs, obviously. But so I really like when the Jets play the Knights or the Preds, you watch those games because you know those are going to be good games. And this was a interesting game. Chris, how did you feel about this one?
Well, I mean, obviously I wasn't happy, but at the same time, you know, it was the second of a back-to-back. Vegas was rested and waiting for the Jets. And I think the Jets kind of had some bad luck. Like the first two goals were really unlucky. And when you're tired, trying to come back from 2-0, especially considering the Knights were flying, like I think you just almost give up in a sense. Like you just don't have it.
Yeah. And, was Subban starting in this one?
I believe so, because I think Fleury was still with his wife in the hospital.
Yeah, because he didn't start last night either. Is that why? Yeah. So he's not hurt. He's just...
Oh, no, his wife just had a kid.
Congratulations to Fleury.
The kid's name is James.
James Fleury.
After James the Real Deal Neil, probably.
Yeah, probably. And, you know, it's just like a little tribute to him after he went off to Calgary and, you know, sucked.
God bless him.
Yeah, right.
Subban is good.
Yeah. then the Oilers go and play the last place Ottawa Senators last night and lose 4-3 in overtime.
I mean, you can hate the game. Like, you can hate that the Oilers lost. It was still a fun game to watch for me.
Yeah, I mean, it was an all right game to watch. It was just like there were parts where I'm like, oh, thank God we have Koskinen. He's holding us in it. And then there's other times where, like, I'm just like, I'm like, okay, cool, he made that save. But then, like, you couldn't save the overtime goal.
I mean, it was kind of unfortunate for Koskinen, too. Like, Tkachuk's goal on that wraparound that went off of Larson's stick.
Yeah,
it
went
off of
Larson. Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to blame him for that one. But, like, I would have liked him to maybe save the 2-on-1 goal, the one to make it 3-2.
Yeah, sure. But at this point of the season, like, the Oilers are out of the playoffs. I'm just going to watch just because hockey's fun to watch sometimes.
I don't think we've been mathematically eliminated yet, though.
Okay. How much do you want to bet the Oilers won't make the playoffs? You can name a price and I'll freaking match it, dude.
No, I'm not gonna take that bet.
I don't even care what odds you give me. Like, I'll put up money on that.
No, the Oilers are probably gonna miss the playoffs. It's gonna be rough. Though, shout out to Colby Cave with an absolute snipe.
No kidding. I'm loving that kid.
Yeah, no, that they've been looking good.
Yeah. Him and Gambardella, I've noticed lately, he's been playing really well.
Yeah, a little. I mean, it's amazing what a little bit of just speed does for you.
Yeah, speed and a lot of heart in him too.
Yeah, for sure. You can definitely see it when he gets in on the forecheck. He's just running people.
So much gaff.
Yeah, and McDavid and Draisaitl keep rolling. So I mean, that's fun.
We're just looking at Mick points now.
Yeah, for sure. Do you think he catches Kucherov? Probably not, huh?
Kucherov's just so far ahead, dude.
Hey, I mean, 1 8-point night, you know?
Yeah. I mean, if there's anybody that can do it, it'll be McDavid.
Yeah, for sure. And then moving on to, honestly, probably the best game all week, the Jets-Preds game. What a freaking game.
Oh, my goodness.
I actually sat down and watched some of this. That was a game and a half.
That was a dismantling.
Yeah. Like, Chris, go. You take it away, buddy.
I don't even know. I just don't want to gush too much, but man, there were so many things to love about the game. Back-to-back shoutouts for Hellebuck. Finally looks like he's playing, you know, more like what he played last year. He's been, after the first rough start, he's been 9-19 in the last 37 games. So
yeah,
that's pretty bad. Yeah, so
he did get a bit lucky though.
Oh yeah,
last night. But I mean, but you got to be good to be lucky, and lucky to be good.
Absolutely, yeah. No, you're not wrong about that. But and you know, Rene was a little bit unlucky. But I thought it was hilarious that Rene got scored on short side after he knocked the net off the moorings twice. It was the same side that he knocked off twice. So that was karma. Karma's a bitch sometimes.
Well, though, on the topic of Rene, though, that game could have been an absolute slaughter. Like I know you guys beat him 5-0, but if Rene hadn't been dialed in when he was, that's a 9-0 game.
I gotta tell you, man, that line of Connor, Hayes, and Laine, watch out for that line. That is a balanced scoring line.
Speaking of Patrick Laine, you want to touch on Patrick Laine? Because you had a hell of an article and a hell of a title for that article.
Yeah, the decline of Patrick Laine. Yeah, really. Cool. It did get like 60 views in one day, so I was pretty stoked about that. But anyway, I think that like what I said about the article, you know, what I said in the article still holds true, but it's kind of funny that Laine had a really great game last night.
Freaking Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Right. So he set Connor up for his hat trick goal when he had a really good chance to score himself. And that really, to me, shows what kind of a player he is. But, yeah. You know, I just think Laine, obviously, he still hasn't quite found how to be a responsible NHL player and be really dynamic at the same time. And I'm really hoping he's going to put it together. There's a lot of reasons why people think he isn't yet. But, you know, we see it in players where they do kind of have a fallback, especially after having some early success. There's a million reasons for that. And I go on about that in the article. So.
Yeah, and I mean, also, Laine was getting unlucky last night. I think he had maybe two or three posts.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I've definitely been noticing in, like, watching the games, he's also passing a lot more. Like you said, like, that the hat-trick pass to Connor, and shout-out to Kyle Connor, because Kyle Connor is just...
Oh, he's great.
Yeah.
He's a great... Like,
yeah, but the last couple of games, Laine has definitely been kind of like he'll have that kind of opportunity to shoot, and I think he did a couple of games ago. I forgot who he set up, but like he's just nice throwing nice little passes, cross creasers and stuff like that, which is kind of cool to see because it opens up his game a little bit.
That's exactly what I was gonna say. You're absolutely correct because now goalies at least a bit in their head have to say, well, is he gonna like look me off and pass it to somebody, or like what's he gonna do? So
that puts that maybe, you know, 0.5 of a second doubt into the goalie's mind, which could be the difference between scoring and not. So,
yeah. And so with that win, the Jets clinch a playoff spot.
How do you feel, Chris?
I feel really excited. I mean, to me, the last few games of the season weren't anything about wins or losses, but you obviously don't want to back into the postseason. You want to be playing well. So for me, the most exciting thing is the Jets are playing back to the way they played last year.
Yeah, and so I'm pulling up right now who they would be playing. Let's see here. In the West, the Winnipeg Jets. They would be playing, looks like, Dallas right now.
Ooh.
Eat them for dinner.
Yeah, I'm picking the Jets 100 times out of 100 in that series.
Yeah.
The Central is a dog's breakfast. I think the only two teams are really, like, the Jets, and I'm not even going to say the Preds. The Preds, I think, made a mistake by bringing in Simmons and Boyle. Those guys have looked awful for the team.
Yeah, they definitely haven't really been moving the needle like they had hoped.
Right. You know, and that's the thing about trade deadline deals. They can work for you, or they can bite you in the ass.
Yeah. Also, Granlund has been non-existent since being traded as well.
I hate Granlund because I think he's such a great player, and I would love to have him on my team because he doesn't necessarily generate tons of offense for you, but he is an honest hockey player. He works so hard. He back checks hard. He's always on the puck. That's the kind of player you need, right? I think like the Oilers would love to have a player like Michael Granlund. But yeah, you know, I mean, he hasn't been producing a lot for them for sure.
I mean, but if you look at like the pieces that they've moved out, like Fiala is doing great in Minnesota.
Big mistake.
Yeah,
I know
Hartman in Philly. Ryan Hartman in Philly. He's looked really good for them.
He's a good player. Those are two players that I hated for the Preds last year because they were always seemed to be like causing trouble for the Jets. Fiala used to always produce tons of offense and score against the Jets. And Hartman was just a thorn in our side every time we played. Those are the kind of players you want, especially going into the playoffs.
Yeah, I was a little surprised to see Hartman get moved because, like, he is very definitely a playoff kind of player.
Yeah,
he's great. They made some bad steps.
I was upset when Chicago gave them Hartman.
I mean, I thought the cost that the piece that Chicago got back, because they got like a first and a prospect or something for him. It's like pretty good for him, but.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think the piece they gave up for him, but, like, man, Hartman and Fiala are both on my list of players I want the Oilers to get.
So I have a question for you guys.
Yes, shoot, my friend.
Come second season playoff time, are you jumping on the Jets bandwagon? Because I will save a couple spots for you guys.
I'll tell you what. The Jets are definitely my Western Conference team.
What?
I can't pick him against Tampa. I just can't do it.
Oh my God, why? What tie do you have to Tampa? Is it because I live here?
you got me. You're right there.
Why is it?
Dude, I got a St. Louis jersey in my freaking closet.
Yeah. So, Chris, here's the story. So when me and my family.
Oh my God! Go ahead. Sorry.
When me and my family moved to Tampa, Dalton and his whole family. So this is like 6 or 7 years ago at this point. Dalton and his family came to visit us, and then we're like, obviously we're all here. We got to go to a Lightning game. So we go to a Lightning game, and I think St. Louis was actually still playing for the Lightning at this point.
Yeah, he wasn't even the captain yet. He was still an A.
That's correct. And Dalton, and so we're there, and who are they playing? I think they were playing the Canadiens.
Somebody I hated.
Yeah, and so this Subban's obviously still in the Canadiens, so, like, it was a really good – and this was when the Lightning weren't, like, obviously powerhouse they were, so them and the Canadiens were kind of going back and forth. I pissed everyone off in the stands because I'm pretty sure I went in a Montreal Canadiens jersey.
Probably. That sounds like you.
Yeah. But Dalton could not wait. Like, first intermission, he sprinted to the merch store and bought a St. Louis jersey.
Dude, that was probably the most expensive purchase of my young life at that point.
How much was that? That was probably like 130.
I think it was like 200 American dollars.
Jesus.
Which, you know, is like basically a year's rent in Canadian. So,
well, yeah, I mean, also you were like 14 at the time.
Yeah, yeah. I think I was just getting into high school around then. So
that's like an entire year's worth of money for a 14-year-old.
Yeah, I can't wear the jersey on ice anymore because it just doesn't fit.
Yeah, I bet. So Dalton is a proud owner of a Tampa Bay Lightning jersey. I think it's only been within the last like 2 years that someone gave me a Tampa Bay Lightning t-shirt, because I haven't owned any Tampa Bay Lightning stuff at all.
Really?
Yeah.
But you lived there the entire time.
I know, exactly. I actually have a picture of Ben Bishop with a game puck on my wall. It's like an Eastern Conference Championship 2015 Ben Bishop memorabilia with a limited edition puck in it, like piece of the puck in the thing hung up. But I think that's it.
That's pretty cool, though.
Yeah, I know. It has nothing to do with if it was the Lightning. It just has to do with it's like memorabilia.
It's an NHLer.
Yeah, exactly. But you know what, Chris, to get back to your question, I'm on board. I am with you. I'm there. I'm next to you, pal. White out all the way.
Yeah. So Dalton's going to defer to a team with a player that used to be a Flame. That seems pretty odd to me.
Well, you know, he left the Flames, which means that he's A-OK in my book.
Also, secondly, Dalton, I thought you were 14 now.
Oh, no, dude, I'm actually 12.
Yeah, so actually when I met Dalton, Dalton was about 50. He's got a rare thing called Benjamin Button. He goes backwards.
Yeah, but it's like not a year at a time. It's just a random amount of years. I just fluctuate in between.
Yeah, so he might just poop out of existence next year. We got to be careful.
I could be 95 next year too. Who knows, man?
Exactly. So I really only have one more like little, because this could be a really short podcast, but I really only have like one more piece of news, and we kind of alluded to it earlier, but Bob Nicholson.
Oh, Bobby.
Old Bobby Nick. Let me hit the Google machine and pull up his comments.
Oh boy, were they not good. On this one.
Yeah. Bob Nicholson reader comments. All righty. Let me see. All right. Globalnews.ca. Sure.
Oh, man. Very Canadian of you.
Yeah, right. Okay, that's a reader's comments.
Basically, you know, to speed this up, he basically said that if Reeder would have scored 10 or 12 goals this year, he scored no goals, the Oilers would probably have made the playoffs, which is bullshit.
Yeah, the Oilers with their negative 40 goal differential would have made the playoffs with an extra 10 goals.
Don't be Reeder is the answer to this equation. Absolutely. No, he's not.
Well, you know, if they just would have played Reeder on the top line all season with McDavid and Draisaitl, he would have 20 goals.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, but then Nicholson would have... Well, so problem is we play Reeder with McDavid and Draisaitl. He scores 20. Then Bob Nicholson comes out and goes, Zach Cassian, if he had only scored 10 to 12 goals this season or something like that, you know?
Alexander Chason, if he would have scored 15, we would have been hoisting the Stanley.
Yeah, it was just – so I can't find the exact quotes. Anyway, Reeder, he's sent to apologize to it, but – I mean, readers come out and said he was like, I'm surprised by it. Like, I was obviously really offended by it. And like, right, like it's one thing to be like, the season's over and he's not employed by the Oilers anymore. And to come out and be like, man, Reeder had scored. Like, it's still not correct. But, like, the dude still suit up, like, literally the next day.
Yeah, he's wearing Oilers blue every night.
Exactly.
It's absurd that that could be said. Like, even if you just would have, like, alluded to, he's like, hey, you know, we needed some more depth scoring this year, and then we might have been a playoff team. Yo, that's fine. You can't name names, though, my dude.
Yeah, yeah, for sure, for sure. And listen, if he had come out and said we needed more depth scoring, I would have been on board. I would have been like, yes, correct. More depth scoring. That would have helped. But, like, I don't normally agree with Brian Burke, but Brian Burke comes out and says, Bobby Nicks blaming a reader for the Edmonton Oilers missing the playoffs is basically like the captain of the Titanic blaming like the musicians in the dining room. Like,
well, they just should have played better songs, then they wouldn't have sunk.
Obviously, I mean, if they you know built a better, I mean, but there's something in the water. I mean,
yeah, I mean, they were playing Poker Face by Lady Gaga. Should have been playing Shake It Off by Taylor Swift. It happens.
Yeah. So,
you know what? The water, the fucking management team is in the water.
Yeah,
I don't even know what that's supposed to mean, and I agree.
Like, if you look at most of the teams that are real like fuck shows, no matter what league you're talking about, it usually has to do with the. Oh shit! Oh wow, that was a bad mistake. So I'm watching the Canadian national soccer team. The goaltenders made a terrible mistake. But what I was trying to say was, if you look at the ownership of a team that struggles, that's a real mess, and it's usually traced back to the owner. Just meddling, like hiring the wrong people, saying the wrong things, just like not letting the people they hire, like, you know, make the decisions for the team. And I think that's the case. You could say that's the case in Edmonton to a certain extent, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, the more and more Nicholson speaks and gets in front of a microphone, it seems like he just keeps one-upping himself in absolute shit shows. Like he comes out and he goes, oh, we're going to talk to the other teams about who we should hire for a general manager. And everyone's like, oh, God, here we go again. And then he comes out and then he says this reader thing. And it's just like – he was supposed to brought in, you know, to when he was brought in before Shirelli, he was supposed to be brought in to be like this figure of stability, this hockey icon that's supposed to right the ship, steady the ship, be like a good like steering anchor on this boat and pull it out of the water. And he just, once Shirelli was gone, now that Shirelli's gone, people can't be like, oh, Keith Gretzky, because Keith Gretzky's really only made two moves, and he's done. Other than that, he's done nothing. So, like, Bob Nicholson is in the hot seat for basically everything that is said or looked at, and it's just not a good thing to see.
Yeah. Do you want to hear some unsourced rumors?
Yes.
All right. So, from an anonymous source,
what's that word? Wait, hang on. What's the word?
A what? A mononymous.
A mononymous source. Niminiminiminish source.
Wonderful. Okay.
It's just my Canadian accent showing through. Don't worry about it. From AKA a random Twitter account.
Yeah.
I have learned that apparently Daryl Katz is like super pissed with Mr. Nicholson, justifiably. And also that Nicholson is no longer in charge of the search for a new GM. And instead, Mr. Katz is looking to hire Ken Holland as the new president of hockey operations and let him decide who the new GM is going to be.
Okay. I'm going to piggyback off what you just said. Who I was listening to 31 Thoughts, and they didn't say – I didn't. So first off, the fact that Katz is very upset with Nicholson, freaking it's about time. Welcome to the show, Mr. Katz. I'm glad you could join us. Welcome to the team. It's your team, the Edmonton Oilers. I don't know if you know this, but we suck. And no one is happy at all. No one is happy, Mr. Kate. And you want to know why? Because you left horses in charge of dogs. So if anybody's seen the John Mulaney stand-up special, basically, he says, you can't, it's basically like leaving horses in charge of dogs. You leave, you have a dog, you need someone to dog sit your dog, so you put a horse in charge. You're like, don't worry, you need to take him out for walks, he needs to be fed, and also, you're a horse. And nothing gets done.
What? I would have thought the horse would have walked the dog.
No, it doesn't. It literally doesn't. It just shits in the house along with the dog. So when you get back from your trip, your house is filled with shit.
You know what?
So honestly, I'm going to jump in. I'm going to jump in and say, you know, if Kate's hires Holland as president of hockey operations and then just steps back and says, you're the president. It's up to you. Do whatever you need to do. If that means fire every single person in this organization, then do it. If he does that, the Oilers have a real chance of becoming a good team, an organized team, like a team that can actually be successful. But if he continues to meddle, or he doesn't like allow Holland to have the proper leadership and management structure, they're not going to fix it.
So I say if they bring in Ken Holland as like the president of hockey operations, like the position Nicholson is in currently, I will be happy. If they bring Holland in as a GM, I will be unhappy. I feel like Holland probably shouldn't be the GM. I think he's a little bit out of touch with the way the game's going. But in the sense of hockey management and that sort of stuff, I feel like he would 100% be like the right direction. In the 31 Thoughts podcast, they said that bringing in Holland, and then if they brought in Holland where Nicholson is, they probably would keep Keith Gretzky on and then let Holland like teach Gretzky the ways, sort of a Jedi Master apprentice sort of style. But my question is, if we bring Ken Holland in as the PO, do we get Yzerman?
I think if they bring in, I don't think Yzerman is going anywhere but Mr. Detroit at this point. Apparently, though, more unsourced rumors. McCrimmon, who I believe is the assistant general manager to the Vegas Golden Knights, is being looked at as the prime candidate for the new general manager for the Oilers.
I also heard Mark Hunter, the owner of the London Knights and former head scout of the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Yeah, the guy who lost out on the general manager job to Dubois.
Either
one. I don't think that happened because he's like the lead runner for Canadian Junior, the general manager of the Canadian Juniors. So I don't know.
Like, there's just so much speculation right now. So it'll be interesting to see how it shakes out in the next couple of months. So,
yeah, for sure. So here's my question then for you guys. End of the season, is Nicholson still here?
I think Nicholson will still be here. I don't think he'll be involved in the hockey side at all anymore.
That's fine. Let him run ticket prices and the Bobby Nix burgers. That's fine.
Man, you should hear my dad rage about the Bobby Nix burger.
Is he not happy about it?
Oh, he's just like, he's so pissed because he's like, you take over an organization and what's the first thing you do? You name a freaking burger after yourself? Fair enough.
So, since we have some time left before we go, I just wanted to mention, well, it's probably going to be, obviously, this is a podcast, so you guys are going to miss it anyway, so maybe I shouldn't, but I just wanted to give props to the Canadian men's soccer team because if you guys like soccer at all, this team is it's going to start making some waves. It's a very talented team. Looks like they're going to go to the Gold Cup as long as they don't score on themselves anymore.
What? Wait, Canada's good at soccer now?
They've been getting better over the last years. I mean, I don't know who all knows this, but I'm probably a better soccer player than I am a hockey player.
For sure. Absolutely. 100%. No offense.
No, it's fine. I've been playing soccer for a lot longer, actually. Though I never really watched soccer. I wasn't a huge, I watched the World Cup and all that stuff, but like, who doesn't watch the World Cup sort of thing? The soccer, I mean, I've tried out for a couple D1 college teams, obviously didn't make it because I'm doing this podcast. And it was actually funny because back in high school, you know, I thought, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go pro. I'm going to make the MLS. Then I'm going to become a dual citizen of Canada. Then I'm going to make the Canadian team. I'm going to become the captain, and I'm going to lead the Canadians into the World Cup, and it's going to be the greatest underdog victory story of all time, and they will write movies about me. And
yeah, I was going to say, like, have you sold the movie rights for this yet?
Not yet, but that would be a hell of a story. It's sort of like The Miracle, right? The Miracle movie. Quick shout out to the Canadian women's soccer team. They've been good for quite a while. They are always kind of in the mix when it comes to it. They obviously don't get the same amount of press as the men's team, which is unfortunate because they have actually been doing really well the last couple of years.
Is this a soccer podcast now?
Yeah, how about Ronaldo, right?
Yeah, and that Messi dude.
Yep.
Bend it like Beckham.
He doesn't play anymore.
You know what? That's okay.
Bend it anyways. I will be playing in a soccer tournament on June 6th. At USF, which is the big college in Tampa. Catch me in the starting goaltender position because that is where I will be.
You're catching all those balls, eh?
Yeah. We'll see. I broke my wrist in the last tournament I played in, so hopefully I don't do that again.
No kidding. Chris, did your thingy die again? Chris?
No, I'm still here. Hello.
Oh, okay.
What's up, pal?
You guys won't let me talk. I'm trying to say 17 things.
All right,
that's
Chris.
A really fun thing, too.
All right, Chris, what were you saying about the men's Canadian team?
Well, okay, so I was going to say, first of all, I want to give a shout out to MLS because if it wasn't for the MLS, the Canadian national team wouldn't be as good as they are.
Yeah, I agree.
Because having teams in Vancouver, Montreal, and Toronto have been huge for the sport in Canada. But second thing I wanted to say was, if you want to avoid breaking your wrist during goal, Mike, just catch the ball with your face like you usually do.
Yeah. I knew that was coming. It wasn't even like on a miraculous stop that I hurt my wrist. It was my own teammate was shooting really hard shots at me during warmups, and I wasn't looking, and he freaking beamed one at my face, and I looked up and I brought my hands up, and normally, right, there's obviously proper technique to do it where you're not going to get hurt, right? Your hands are supposed to be kind of in front of it with your thumbs kind of leading the backbone, and then it comes into a diamond, but because if you just try and stop it, just palms up, it's going to snap your wrist back. And I've actually had that happen to me a few times. But so I'm not looking because I'm starting to walk out of the net. He beams a shot at my face and I bring my hands up just instinctually and catches my right wrist. And it's still like I'll go and like sort of pick myself up or whatever. And like if I'm like getting out of bed or something, I like push myself up using just my right wrist. Like it kind of definitely still kind of sore. And it's been a couple months. Yeah. Not fun. I actually have a custom number 2 Michael Farley Toronto FC jersey that I go and play pickup soccer in. I like to show off. I get to show. I'm like, yeah, look at me in my cool jersey. It's whatever though.
I feel like this podcast should have ended like 15 minutes ago.
What are you talking about? This is a soccer podcast now.
Yeah, we'll call it.
I should definitely not be on it then.
We'll call it South of the 18-Yard Box.
See, I don't even know what that means. That's how little I should be on a soccer podcast.
All right, boys. Then we will wrap it up with our predictions for this coming week.
Wait, who won last week?
I did, actually. I won. What? Yes, I did. I won a score of, I believe it was 3 for me, 2 for Dalton, and 1 for Chris. So, Dalton, I have actually passed you in points.
I'm quitting the podcast.
Chris, you're still in the lead with 6. I have 5. Dalton, you were in last place with 4.
Dalton sucks. Kind of just scored, by the way.
Hey,
I've got something for you that is going to make you feel better, but I won't tell you. It will be coming in the mail.
Oh. Now I'm concerned. Are you sending me a bomb, dude?
No. You're going to really like it, though. I just have to get your address.
I'm, like, really concerned you're going to send me, like, anthrax.
You're going to really like it. I'm not going to tell you what it is, though. You're going to be so surprised.
All right. Well, I'm not going to give out my address over here, but I'll text it to you.
All right. Yeah, all right,
can you just give it to everybody?
I mean, like, unless other people want to send me things, in which case, like, I'll just move.
You don't want just fan mail coming from random people on the internet?
Dude, I think it'd more be, like, you know, suicide threats mail or something like that, you know.
Suicide threats.
Yeah, they're like, you're so bad, I'm gonna kill myself. Yeah, exactly.
So Dalton, is that why our listeners have been gradually declining?
Probably, yeah.
I knew it.
Just keep sending them hate mail.
I knew it. You're bullying the listeners.
It's what I do.
All right, boys. We actually have only 4 games on the docket this week. It's a bit of a slow week with the season winding down. I am on the Winnipeg Jets bandwagon. I don't know what you guys do, so I'm just going to go, hoo, hoo, hoo. And, first game of the week, the Winnipeg Jets play the Dallas Stars at home tomorrow. Maybe a little preview of round one.
Oh, they're going to send a message to those stinky Stars.
Chris, how about you kick us off with the prediction?
I think the Jets are going to win 4-1.
4-1 win. All right, Dalton, what do you think?
The Jets are going to win, but it's going to be 5-2.
5-2 win. Well, I have Connor Hellebuck in the pool. So, and he's got back-to-back shutouts. So we're going for a third, 3-0.
Ooh, back-to-back-to-back.
Yep. All right, then the Edmonton Oilers play the LA Kings at home. A good team would beat the LA Kings. So, Dalton, what do you think?
Obviously, Tobias Reeder's going to get a natural hattie. 3-0 Oilers win.
3-0 win. And a Reeder hattie. Watch Reeder get a hat trick in like the last game of the season.
Dude, I'm going to lose my mind.
He just like takes his gloves off and skates to the bench, like flipping everyone the bird.
I would go out and buy his jersey right then if he went and did that, dude.
Yeah. Honestly, same. So I'm going to say the Oilers are going to beat the LA Kings in a score of 3-1. Chris.
So here's the problem. When the Kings played the Jets, they did lose, but they play a really smothering style, and I just don't feel like that the Oilers play well against that style. So I'm afraid that the Oilers are going to lose 2-1.
Ugh, hey man, are you predicting Oilers losses anymore? It's just water off my back, you know? It doesn't even matter. It's all good.
Oh, I thought the goal was to actually be right, though. Isn't it?
Yes. Technically, the goal is to be right.
Sure. Okay. Yeah. Absolutely. That's why natural hat trick.
Yeah. Exactly. All right. Then the Winnipeg Jets play the surprising New York Islanders at home on Thursday. I guess I'll start this one off. I'm gonna say Jets win this one 5-4. It's gonna be a bit of a barn burner. Chris, what do you think?
Well, I think you could be right. Bressois in net, maybe. If that's the case, I want to say maybe 4-2 for the Jets.
4-2 win. All right, Dalton.
Honestly, man, like the Jets suck. I don't know what all this hype is about. Islanders are going to win 5-1.
Oh, jeez.
So he's given up on winning the competition, I guess.
What are you talking about? These are all very realistic.
And then the last game of the week I guess the whole podcast at this point is Dallas playing Edmonton at home. I'll start this. I start off the last one. So Chris, start us off, pal.
I'm going to throw the Oilers a bone. I'm going to say 2-1 victory.
Yeah. I'll say it's going to be a 3-2 win for the Oilers, because I guess. Dalton, bring us home, pal.
Dude, the Oilers suck. I don't know what all this hype is about. 5-1 win for the Stars.
Oh, jeez.
Jeez.
The thing is, I'm, like, pretty sure I'm going to win this week.
I mean, honestly, the way the season's been going, you still have a chance. boys, we have been doing this podcast for so long. I have gone out to Target. I have bought a new memo book to write all my notes in, because I completely filled the 50-page memo book.
Wow.
Wow.
That's fancy. Like 50 more pages of notes than I've taken for this podcast.
Yeah. I gotta keep it, though, because I got the score on the back.
Oh. We're very high-tech here.
Yeah, we are. Yeah. Though I encourage everyone to go to southoftheblueline.com to read the two articles by Chris, the one by me, and the brand new one by Dalton. You can follow us at Blue Line South on Twitter, SoundCloud, South Blue Line Podcast, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor, Stitcher, anywhere you listen to podcasts, we're probably there. We're also on YouTube, but no one ever actually. I think we have two of our episodes this year have zero views on YouTube, but I'm still going to keep putting them up there.
I know Taylor watched one.
Hey, thanks, Taylor.
You know, it's hilarious. I love the fact that at the end of every podcast, you tell people how to watch the or listen to the podcast, even though they've been listening to the podcast.
Well, yeah, you know, it's like, you know, because I'm sure there's lots of people that like listen to this in their car when they're carpooling to work with all their friends. So then their friends are like, oh, this is good stuff. And then they're like, where can I hear it? And then I conveniently tell them at the end of it.
What world do you live in?
A fantasy world most of the time.
A world without Google.
So that does it for episode 22 of South of the Blue Line. It's been a weird episode, but oh well.
Dude, I digged it. It was good.
It was fun. That's the real reason why we do it. I will talk to you guys next week.
You guys are beauties.
Goodbye forever.
Bye.